society where we've lost people, not just young people, but older people. And today we're talking about the disconnected, people that have just found themselves disconnected from the church. As a matter of fact, some people define this as church hurt. People have been hurt by the church. And what I can tell you, if you've been involved in the church long enough, you probably suffer from church hurt. Even though you may be here today, there's something that happened to you when you were a kid, or maybe just last week, through a friend of church, the pastor, a leader, and you've been hurt. Someone said the wrong thing, had a good intention, but a bad delivery, and you've been hurt by the church. And so I wanted to start today off and just say, on behalf of Bull Verde Baptist Church, and if you've ever been there, you still kind of hold on to that a little bit in your life, I just want to say this: we're sorry. As a pastor in a church, regardless if it was this church or your childhood church or a different denomination, I want you to know that we're sorry. Now, I've been in church work since 1997, and I've been hurt by the church, and I worked in the church. I've been hurt in this church before, and I'm sure in my last 13 years, there are some of you that I have hurt as well. The thing is we need to, as the body of Christ, learn to walk through those times. Because if not, we have given Satan a foothold and a door into the church where disunity and destruction can be rampant, and the unity that God has called us to and the mission he has called us towards would be in jeopardy. So today I'm going to talk about three things that I believe that we as the body of Christ, capital C Church, but more specifically those who are inside this room today, Bull Verde Baptist Church, that we can do that would help eliminate, fix, or just embrace the moment that we have dealt with in church hurt. So how do we reach the disconnected? How do we do that? I've got a friend or a coworker. I've got someone that it's on my son's soccer team, and we talked about church, and they have said, we're not doing church. Like, I'm not going to go back to the church. I'm not going to do that. When I was 10, this happened, or when my parents went through the divorce, this is what the church did to them. And so therefore, because of that, I'm not walking back through those doors. We've encountered people like that. They actually may be in our own family. They may even be our spouse or our children. So this situation can be very close to home, or it can be in a distant, but I think it's something that we've all could say we know someone who is like that. The first thing I think we do in order to reach the disconnected is this: love. Love. 1 Peter 4:8. We're going to go through a lot of scripture, so probably the best thing to do than trying to like run through there and find it is write the verses down, write the reference down so you can review it throughout the week if you're taking notes. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love one another deeply, because this deep love covers a multitude of sins. You say, well, what does that mean? It makes it right? No. But it helps cover and help fix some things. The best way I can describe this verse is years ago we were doing some remodeling in the youth building, and me and Dick and Dalen Hargrave were over there, and you guys know me with my awesome remodeling skills. I was getting a ladder for one of those guys, and they said, hey, just bring it over here. I said, sure. I grabbed the ladder, and when I grabbed it, thunk, the sheetrock that we had just hung, the screw holes that were in there were still there, and I'd put this gouge into the sheetrock, like tore the paper and everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And Dale Hargrave looked at me and goes, hey, don't worry about it. We'll just put some joint compound over that. You'll never know it's there. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, we got to cover these seams up. We've got to, where the joints, we'll tape it and float it and all that. I know I'm talking way over your expertise level, but trust me, you won't even tell. Give us a week. You won't even be able to tell that you gouged the wall there. We'll put some joint compound in there. Sure enough, We put some joint compound in there. We spray textured the walls. We painted. And I guarantee you, none of you guys know where that little gouge is in that youth building, but I do. And I'm so glad you can't see it anymore. Joint compound, it didn't take away, but it filled it in. The space that was there that was lacking for it to be smooth, that joint compound filled in that gap. And that is what love does. It fills in those gaps that were created through a misunderstanding, an expectation, an unmet desire, whatever it may have been. Love covers a multitude of sins. This is actually taken from the Old Testament in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. It says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Think about it. Parents, you know this to be true. When your kids get hurt, you don't just get a Band-Aid. You put them in your lap. You hold them. You can't take the scrape they had gotten from falling on the bicycle. You can't reverse time. But what you can do is comfort them in that moment. You can't reverse the effects of things that have happened, but you can love them in a moment where it can't necessarily fix it, but it can fill the gap that was created in that moment. But hatred, what does hatred do? Well, hatred stirs up strife. That's not a word we use very often. So it's basically anger, disagreement, or bitterness. When people are hurt, they can't just keep it to themselves. It always comes out. And sometimes when people begin to share with us their story of how the church has hurt them, in good intentions, we have joined their narrative. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, when I was 20, this happened to me. I totally get it. He should have never said that. Yeah, well, I don't know why they do that. Sometimes in an effort to care for someone, we end up joining their narrative. We end up joining their story. And I really feel like a better situation to do is just love them and to pick them up, not physically, because that may be a little awkward at times, but just to hold them and say, I understand. You know, I understand. And sometimes we want to fight. We want to give instruction. We want to give clarity. But we should just, in my opinion, based off what I'm seeing in the scriptures, love them. Just love them. You say, well, what does this love look like? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see here it says in verse 4 through 7, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Verse 6 says, it does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Sometimes in our effort to love people, we have joined their narrative and we don't necessarily think we're rejoicing in the wrongdoing, but we join their narrative and going, you're right, they should have never, that shame on them. Yeah, you're right, the church really needs to, and fill in the blank. I just want you to know that really doesn't ever fix anything. Going back to that kid who fell off the bicycle and scraped their knee. It's like saying, whoa, you're right, we shouldn't have a concrete driveway because concrete's too hard. You know, and we're like, you know, that stupid concrete. Like, it doesn't really fix the problem. It may get your kid to laugh a little bit going, why are you stomping on the concrete? But to love would cover a multitude of offenses. So love, I think, is our first step. This one is probably, in my opinion, the hardest one. The second thing is this, listen and learn. We talk about not joining their narrative. Listen and learn. James 1, 19 through 20 says this, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Imagine sitting down from coffee with that person you work with who said, I'll never go back to church. What they did to me when I went through this, the way they ignored me, the way they did this, I'll never go back, just to listen and go, tell me more about, you know, what that was like. Tell me how that how that really, you know, what that was really communicating to you at that moment. And the thing is, when we love people who have been hurt by the church, listening to them instead of helping them come up with a plan, I believe is a better process. Joining their cause can bring us down. Listening to them so we can learn from them. So oftentimes when we listen to them, our heart is stirred up with things that we have not taken care of in our own life. And like I said, we join their narrative and we come up with a plan or an action. And I believe the best thing to do in this moment is just to listen, because you're going to find out ways to love them better in the process. Proverbs 18:2 says this, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. How many times have we been guilty of someone's talking only to shut them down long enough so we can, hopefully they'll take a breath or pause so we can interject in our conversation? I've been guilty of that for sure. And I read in Proverbs says that that's foolish. To sit there and be in a conversation only to not really understand what this person's saying, but to have an opportunity to plead your case. And sometimes when we are in listening to people sharing their church hurt, we've got so many great ways they can come and join our Bible study and come back and try our church, because we're not like that. And all these other things, we're not even listening to the pain, the hurt that this person's walking through. We're too busy trying to tell them what they should do next instead of listening and learning. Proverbs 18:13 says this, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." I'm here to tell you, listening is so important. The thing is many times we would say it's important for people to listen, but it's definitely hard for us to listen. Because we know of all the times someone's cut us off and we didn't feel like we were heard, and that bothers us, but we also neglect to realize that this is really not about someone else, this is about me. That when I'm listening to someone, I don't need to be so concerned with my thoughts and my answers as much as I'm listening in this moment. Because a folly and shame is for those who are prepared to give an answer before the question is asked. Many times it's better for people to be heard than given a solution. I remember in my life, I had a friend in high school, a really good friend. We played on the drum line together. And I could never get this guy to come to church. I would always invite him. We were close friends. We played basketball together. We hung out at each other's houses all the time. I spent just as much time at his house and vice versa and that kind of stuff. But I could never get him to come to church. And I was like, come on, let's do this. It's fun, it's exciting. I invited him to all the fun events we tried to do as a youth ministry, never. Finally, one Sunday, I got him to come to church. He stayed the night with me Saturday night. He came to church Sunday. And we walk into the auditorium and we're greeted by one of our deacons. And I was like, hey, this is so-and-so. And gave his name. And he was like, hey, we're so glad you're here. Next time, do you mind wearing something a little nicer? I want you to know that this young man was wearing what I thought was even nice at that time. Something my mom would never let me wear when I was growing up in church, but he was wearing maroon silver tab Levi's and a green button-up silk shirt and this black high-top Doc Martens. I thought he looked just fine. But this guy, in an effort to take a man that he thought had, you know, needed some guidance and some instruction, decided to give him answers and give him things before he ever got to know him, listen to him, or heard his story. Can I tell you that that guy has yet to step foot back in a church, still to this day, as far as I understand. I have limited communication with him now. I forget where he's at living. I had a chance to marry him and his wife, only to find out 6 months later they couldn't figure things out and ended up getting a divorce. And I found myself giving him solutions. Well, have you done this? And have you done this? And have you, what about church? Have you found a church home? You know, but trying to give him solutions instead of just loving him. Going, hey, can we meet halfway? Can we have lunch? And let's just talk about this. and listening to what he's going through. See, I failed in this area. I'm in the ministry. Like, I've got all the answers. But really what he needed to do is just be loved and be listened to. And this moment of all the things that he thought was going and what the church was or wasn't was confirmed in a moment. And I can tell you the man who did that is an awesome guy. I know him well. Raised in that church my whole life. He is an amazing man who loves Jesus. He just thought a 16-year-old, 17-year-old young man should be as he was as a 60-year-old man. And I think what he was trying to do was just to say, hey, by the way, this is kind of what our expectation is on the exterior, and I'm just going to help you out on that. And I don't think the guy was trying to be hurtful or meanful or evil in the moment. But I don't think he was being loving or listening or trying to learn in the moment either. And I think so many times we want to jump straight to the last step as our first step, which is to lead people. We want to start here because I've been walking with Jesus for 10 years or 10 minutes or whatever it may be. I know this, and so I'm going to lead you, and you're going to listen and learn from me. And when you do that, we will love each other. And I believe it's just the opposite. The last thing is that we lead them. Hebrews 13:7 says this, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you in the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. People are more apt to learning things that are caught and not taught. Never underestimate the power of modeling. So lead people by the way you lead yourself. Parents, I spent 20 years in youth ministry. The biggest reason why most young people leave the church is their personal walk, their personal thing, never developed. It's not a cookie cutter mold. Please hear me out. But when I sat in counsel with people and I said, hey, what was struggling with, they're saying, well, you know, I want to do this, but my parents wouldn't understand because they don't struggle with that. They don't deal with it. They've never had that problem before. So parents, we've failed in the sense that to let our kids know that we're not perfect in a general sense. This is where we struggle with. To let them know that this faith, to be authentic in this faith and to say, this is what we have failed and this is what we're doing about it, and this is the redemptive road and this is the consequences of that. Another thing is, I think sometimes we've drug our kids to church, which I don't think in essence is a bad thing, but I think we're dragging ourselves too. That the idea of getting up and going to Sunday morning is something we have to do versus something we get to do. And just so you know, your kids can see the difference in that. My kids see the difference in me. It's hard. And I think it's okay to look at your kids and say, you know what? Really want to go to church today because I'm tired, but I see the value of being with people who are of like faith and like mind. And this is where your dad and your mom, this is where we get our strength and encouragement. And so we're going to do this, even though we don't feel like it, because doing the right thing doesn't mean you always have to feel like it. And so we're going to be in church today because we know it's the right thing to do, and this honors God. And God's going to use this moment to teach us some great things today. What a great opportunity to lead your kids in just a chance of vulnerability and honesty. We want to start with the instructions rather than end with the instructions. Galatians 6:9 says this, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Everyone here, listen closely. Give up. It does not give you a timeline. Not giving up means not giving in. It doesn't mean like, oh, okay, we've been at this for 2 years. We just can't do it anymore. That's giving up. But let us not grow weary of doing good, because in due season we will reap, we will receive if we don't give up. There are people who are hurt by the church. And we started with, well, you know, you should try it again. There's a new pastor. You know, people make mistakes. We start with the leading thing, and we didn't get anywhere with them. So you know what we've done? We've given up. And then they're still disconnected from the church. I want to challenge us to love those people. This week, I was taking some pictures across the property. We're updating some of our road signage and stuff because it's got the old logo on it. We're trying to update some things. And I'm literally walking from this sign down here by Bulverde Road, and I'm walking down the driveway area, the parking lot driveway area by the Bulverde Road, and this guy in a convertible black Dodge crossover with white hair drives by me, points at me and says, "You're of the devil," and kept driving. I didn't know what to say in the moment. I had to think about it. Like, did he just say that we're of the devil? And so I just yelled at the only thing that came to my mind is, "Have a great week." And then I thought about it. I thought, I should have said, "Come say it in my face," because I thought in the moment I could take him. And I shared this with a couple of my pastor friends this week, and in light of preparing for this message, my heart broke over this weekend, thinking about that moment, which at the moment, like I said, I didn't know what to say. Then I thought, you know, okay, I'll just, you know, let's just say it to my face. Let's just, you know, if you're man enough to say it going 35 miles down the road, just park and say it to me and let's talk about this. And then my heart broke because the thing is, this man probably lives in our community. And there may have been something that's happened in his life that he's so hurt about that he felt joy and freedom by pointing at a guy standing by the church. He says, "You are of the devil," and kept going. And I got to thinking, what are we as Bulverde Baptist Church doing to love that guy? Which one of us is that guy? You're going to go home and figure out if there's a Dodge crossover parked by you. And by the way, I say that intentionally because that guy needs to be loved on by a Christ follower. My question is, what are we doing to reach that person? What are we doing, people who live in Bulverde, Spring Branch, who will not on a Sunday morning, they wake up and they see someone at HEB dressed in khakis and a suit, or they see whatever, and immediately they think you went to church, and there's just hatred that comes over their life. What are we doing to love that person? So I'll leave you this. What's at stake with this church hurt? What's at stake? People's lives. People's lives, because here's the thing, that person may be married and have kids, and they're going to grow up another generation of people who hate the church and they hate God. People's lives are at stake. And what's it going to cost? Our personal agenda. The things that we like, it's probably going to cost us those things. This guy that I shared the story with all of you gasped. Here's the thing. All that guy was doing was looking at things through the lens of his life and what he thought was right, and he was not looking through the lens with a mission of God. He's not a bad person. He's not an evil person. But his personal agenda was going to have to be compromised because it meant reaching someone who shows up in colored jeans, then I'm okay with people wearing colored jeans in church. I believe that we as a church lose sight of the mission of God and his desire to see that mission fulfilled here on earth. And like I said, it's because I think we look at things with our personal lens than a lens that is missional. And what does God want in this moment? And the truth is, loving people who've hurt by the church, it takes time. I'll never forget sitting down with someone who was, you know, and multiple times sitting down with someone who's been hurt by the church. And you know what you don't get out in your first 2, 3, 4 meetings? How you can help them. Just listening to their story. Just loving them. Just caring for them. Because here's the thing, they're hurt. They've been pushed off or fallen off the bicycle and they've scraped their knee, and who's going to come alongside of them and pick them up? If it's not us as the church, then who will it be? So my question is, Are we willing to love people, listen, and learn from their stories so we can do a better job as a church to reach those who are hurting and those who are in need? It's not easy, but it's worth it. And I hope that we will not be like Proverbs 18 that says that we would be listening to someone prepared to give the answer without truly listening to who they are and what the thing, what was going on in their life. That we would love them like Christ has loved us. That our love would be patient. That our love would be kind. That we would not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoice in truth. The thing is every one of you knows someone who's disconnected from the church right now. They make excuses why they didn't want to be here. They give you reasons upon reasons why they don't want to show up. And it's even caused hurt in your own relationship. And I'm just telling you, I want to encourage you to love that person. If you were the one who had walked away, do you want someone yelling at you, telling you what's right and wrong? Or do you want someone to love you, listen to you, and gain the opportunity to give instruction back to them? I'm telling you, I've done it wrong. I've led. I want them to listen to me, learn from me, and then we can love each other. I've done it backwards. I'm telling you, it doesn't work near as well. Matter of fact, I don't think it really works at all. But we should love, listen, and learn so that we can lead. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet and close in a time of prayer today. Lord Jesus, I know that the things we talk about today are hard. And most of us have life figured out and we're ready to tell everyone how to do it, rather than loving people through their hurt. Let us be a church that to the people who would drive by our church and say that we're the devil, that we would find a way to love that person. We'd listen to what's in their life so we can learn more about what is going on and through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, lead them back to you, or maybe even lead them to you for the first time. God, let us not sit on this instruction. Let us not sit on this problem, but let our eyes be opened and our minds be willing and ready to go out to love people. We love you, Jesus. It's your name that we pray all these things in. Amen.